That's Business. A new and informative radio programme on management development and issues of leadership today. Exploring the highs and the lows of management today. If you are not there, how to get there. And if you are there, how to stay there. That's Business.
Radio Saltimus.
With Nisham Rays and Rick Coles.
Hello and welcome to That's Business. My name is Nisham Rays.
My name is Rick Coles.
Today there are many similarities between companies. The difference between any company can be its people and the customer service that comes from them. Now, we are all customers every day in one shape or form. Therefore, we all experience the pros and cons of various customer services out there. One of the things we hope to accomplish in this program is how to deliver excellent customer service to each and every customer, whether it's internal or external. Now, to start off with, Rick, can you explain the professionalism that is required to be an excellent service provider?
Well, part of that professionalism, of course, is technical competence, and that is knowledge of your job, your company, your industry, and the services that you offer. You couple that with interpersonal competence, and that is knowing how to deal with people. But you know, customer service doesn't necessarily come from a manual. It comes from the heart. When you're taking care of the customer, you can never do too much, and there is no wrong way if it comes from the heart. In marketing terms, we talk about the four P's, or the classical six P's, but let's talk about the four P's. You have product, you have price, you have promotion, and you have place. And of course, you have people. Now, people have been regarded as perhaps the most important P of the marketing aspect, because they are the differentiator. Many companies today have the same, more or less the same product. Let's look at the retail industry. In certain aspects, they all have the same product. They all have the same type of promotion. They all have the same kind of processes. They all distribute in the same way, more or less. And price-wise, there'd be a small difference, perhaps, between the major brands. But where the difference comes, and that's what I think most of us have noticed, is in the people. The extra service that they deliver and the creative way that they deliver that service. I'll give you an example of, and we all have examples of experiencing great and not so great customer service. Not too long ago, my son had a few friends over, and he said, "Good, can we order a pizza?" I won't name the company, but we ordered pizza from them, and we ordered an extra thing to go with it. When the pizza came, that was fine. And I said, "Well, where is the extra item which I requested?" He said, "Oh, I forgot it." I said, "Oh, well, forget it. Doesn't matter. We'll accept the order as it is." 20 minutes later, the doorbell rang, and there was the delivery guy with the item that we had forgotten. And I thought that was that going the extra mile. You know, you create a customer by convincing him or her overwhelmingly that you are the lowest risk, highest value, easiest person and company to do business with. It requires this professionalism, this technical competence coupled with the interpersonal competence to actually deliver this extremely excellent customer service that people are looking for and, in fact, demanding.
Everyone is on the lookout for new customers. How do you create a customer?
Well, you create a customer by delivering this great customer service and getting them to come back. You know, it's not enough today to have customers that are merely satisfied. Customers that are unhappy and those that are merely satisfied will switch and they'll go to the competitor. And profit comes from repeat customers that boast about the product or the service. We talk about long-term value, LTV, long-term value of the customer. Customers over a period of time to one company can mean thousands and thousands of reals. Look at the car industry. Look at grocery stores. Look at the place where you take your car for service and so on and so on. It's very important that you get the customer and retain them. This is what companies are looking for, because a retained customer has a high value or a long-term value to a company. Don't look after the customer, and that's a pretty frightening proposition. The high cost of losing a customer. Let me just give you a few statistics. On average, for every customer who bothers to complain, 26 others remain silent. The average complained customer will tell 8 to 16 people, and over 10% of those will tell 20 more. A frightening statistic. 91% of unhappy customers will not purchase from you again. But, positive side, if you make an effort to remedy a customer's complaint, 82 to 95% will stay with you. In marketing terms, it costs 6 times as much to attract a new customer as it costs to keep an old one, or shall I say, an existing one. So you see, customer satisfaction, it's not a problem. It's actually an opportunity. When somebody complains, you should welcome it, because it's when they don't complain and they don't come back, that's when we worry. And that's the what we call the invisible customer. We just don't know where they go. We don't know what happened. So we actually use the information that they give us when they complain to do something about it, to improve our product or our service in some shape or form. So it's very important. The customer is a VIP, no doubt about it. And that's a very important person. But the employee who serves that customer is also a VIP. They're a very influential person. So to summarize that, professionalism is technical competence plus interpersonal competence, and actually a great desire to look after a customer, a great desire inside of yourself, that in your heart, that you want to look after them and get them to come back over and over. Lastly on this, you create a customer, again, by convincing him or her overwhelmingly that you're the lowest risk, highest value, easiest person and company to do business with.
How can companies evaluate their customer service and identify the key problems?
Well, there's a number of ways, of course. You can hire a research company to come in and research where you're doing well, where you're not doing well, and obviously interview various customers. You can do a service audit internally, of course. You can analyze the complaints that come in. I was customer relations manager for a company in Sydney for a couple of years, and we were able to make many product and service improvements through the complaints that we received and analyze them in the company and then feeding those to the head office, who are overall responsible for making changes, incremental changes in our product and services. And it worked very well. You know, it's also an internal understanding and belief in quality and why quality is so important. I love the quote that I use in my training. It says, quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligible and skillful execution, and it represents the wise choice of many alternatives. It's really an understanding of quality, an understanding as to what direction the company's going in and how what part customer service plays in that.
A customer is a very important person for any business, be it a big business or a small one. Now, how can you improve customer loyalty?
Well, I think understanding the customer and what their needs and wants are is extremely important. I mean, there are not four or five needs of a customer. There are literally hundreds. If you do an exercise on it, you'll be amazed how many needs a customer has. And of course, they're different according to age. We have the youth have a certain need, and of course the elderly another need in a certain product or service. So it's understanding that in order to get the customer to be loyal. The other one, of course, is to ask the customer, what is it that you're looking for? And many companies will do surveys and questionnaires and forums or focus panels where they ask the customer, where are we performing well and where could we improve? So by understanding the customer and understanding what it is that they're looking for in your product or service, you can do much better and you can retain and have loyal, happy customers. Of course, it's not as easy as all that, of course. It requires more or less a seamless attitude throughout the company. I'll give you an example of this kind of understanding throughout the company. A famous book called Moments of Truth, which I use very much in my training, written by Jan Carlsen, who was a CEO of SAS and about three other companies in his career. Wrote a book, which was I thought was very valid. 1 year, they had 10 million customers who came in contact with approximately five of the employees of that company. This contact lasted an average of 15 seconds each time. So therefore, the airline created 15 million times a year, 15 seconds at a time. So these 15 million moments of truth are moments that ultimately determine whether the airline or the company will succeed or fail as a company. There are the moments when they produce, when they must prove to the customers that that company was the best alternative, and in order to keep them loyal, of course. I tell you a story that, again, it comes from that airline in, a few years ago. There was a businessman staying at a hotel downtown Stockholm, and one day he left the hotel and headed for the airport, about 30 minutes away, 20 to 30 minutes away. And he got to the airport and realized that he had left his ticket behind. And of course, he had to catch that flight. It was extremely important. He had a connection going overseas. So, of course, you can't board an airplane without a ticket. So the ticket officer rang the hotel. She first of all reassured the customer, "Here's your boarding card. I'll insert a temporary ticket in there. And if you just tell me your room number at the hotel downtown, I'll take care of the rest." Now, of course, the customer thought this is impossible. The flight leaves fairly soon. They're asking me to sit down with a dummy ticket. I'm not going to make my flight. So anyway, got him a cup of coffee, asked him to sit down and relax. Somebody made a phone call to the hotel. They ran up to room 511, found the ticket in the top drawer, ran downstairs, put it in a taxi, which did record time to the airport. That employee rushed then to the ticket counter, delivered the ticket. The customer got his real ticket coupon, and he boarded the aircraft. That, I think, is service above and beyond. But it is now, today, what customers are expecting. You see, standards are rising all the time, and customers are becoming more demanding. And the bar is being raised. And some companies are merely just trying to keep up, and others are creating and innovating and trying to continually improve their customer service. It's a continual process.
What are the top five tips on customer service, Rick?
Well, there's a lot of tips, but it's very hard to narrow it down to five, because good customer service is the lifeblood of any business. You can offer promotions and slash prices to bring in as many new customers as you want, but unless you get them come back, your business won't be profitable. Here we go. First of all, answer your phone and do it well. Number two, don't make promises unless you will keep them. You will keep them. Listen to your customers. Deal with complaints and treat them as an opportunity to improve your business. Be helpful, even if there's no immediate profit in it, and make sure that you train your staff to always be helpful, courteous, and knowledgeable.
So these are the top five customer service tips for this week. That's all we have time for on this session of That's Business. This is Nisham Ray signing off.
Rick Coles as well. Thank you.
We'll be joining you next week, same time, with That's Business.